I'd like to welcome everybody to the August 11th Select Board meeting, and would you all join me as we pledge allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I really enjoyed hearing everybody in this large group. That was very nice. It's rare, but it's nice.
Let me get an extra pen there, Amy. I don't have my stuff.
I got it.
Roll call.
Sue.
Yeah, Boyd.
Brian.
Pat.
And Stephanie is absent. She's on her way to Florida with her daughter to take her to school. All right, we have a public hearing. The board has already signed. This is a request to have the historical barn easement back in place on Clark Things Barn on North Road. The board has already signed it, but I'll open the public hearing at 6:31 if anybody has got any comments on it. We just needed to make a official vote by the board, so it was a matter of record. But everybody has already signed the easement.
So you need a motion, or?
Unless if somebody's got some input out there that they want to. If not, yes.
Okay, I'll make a motion to whatever we have to do here.
To grant the easement, the barn easement.
Yes.
Second that.
All right, any discussion or comments? Seeing none, all in favor?
Sue.
Boyd.
Brian.
Pat.
Okay. Close the public hearing at 6:32. We have the minutes of August 4th.
Make a motion to accept the minutes from August 4th as presented.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Sue.
Boyd.
Brian.
Pat.
Perfect. All right, now we have the Hampshire Preservation Alliance Award. Smith Memorial Building.
Ready to go?
Ready to go. I'll leave it up to you.
I'm trying to think of how to best stand. Here, maybe?
Probably somewhere by that easel there would probably work.
Okay, good. I just want to say, I know you're a leader. Your town is a leader in the use of that barn tax relief program, too. So thank you for that. Anyways, but the agenda item tonight is to present you with this Preservation Award. My name is Jennifer Goodman. I'm the Executive Director of the New Hampshire Preservation Alliance, and I'm really pleased to be here tonight representing the Preservation Alliance to celebrate the town's thoughtful and robust stewardship of the Smith Memorial Building with this award. At the Preservation Alliance, we've been giving awards for outstanding preservation projects for over 30 years. Statewide, our awards portfolio ranges of preservation projects from major theaters and grand hotels to tiny cobbler shops and one-room schoolhouses. We also recognize outstanding leaders, community revitalization efforts, and educational efforts. Together, these projects reflect the best of the historic preservation movement in the Granite State and where we're heading. We're very pleased that representatives of the Smith Memorial Preservation Project joined us at our central ceremony, Preservation Alliance's central ceremony in June in Tilton, and even more pleased to be with you this evening. I'd say my comments, I'm almost half done, are very short, and they're gonna be sort of inversely proportional to our big thanks. Short comments, big thanks, and gratitude for the town's and trustees' work. Our awards committee was impressed with the town and trustees for this model of effective planning and incremental high-quality stewardship. Our awards criteria includes the project's degree of innovation, quality of work, extent of challenges and accomplishments, and the high level of support for the project. The committee really admired the work to assess the building over 10 years ago now, evaluation of character-defining features and other efforts when the library moved to its new location and the building phase, I understand, was an uncertain future, again, over a decade ago. We admire the town forming the Board of Trustees in 2014, dedicated to maintain and preserve the building and grounds. Work over time with support from the Select Board in the town, repairing and restoring windows, and a really clear commitment to caring for the landmark's character-defining features like its slate roof, its original windows, as I mentioned, cork floor, majestic oak woodwork, a historic and commemorative fireplace panel, really a gem of a building, as you all know. We so appreciate how this very generous gift from Governor Smith years and years ago served the town for so many years as the library and continues to serve the community in such an important way. We're pleased that, like us, you see preservation as an essential ingredient in enhancing the economic and community vitality of our towns and the importance of preserving the character of our communities. As we continue to work with municipal groups like yours across the state, we want to do even more to fill the toolbox of strategies and incentives that increase preservation activity across the state. So congratulations. Here's to more continued positive efforts. We know that your work for this beacon on the hill can really be an inspiration for others as well. So thank you for all the hard work and a great party.
You have something to add to that?
I just want to say a couple of things. Carla Penfield, chairman of the trustees, there are a couple of things that I think we all may have forgotten about that I think was the start of interest in preserving our building. I have to have these because I'm so forgetful. And even with these, I'll forget half of what I want to say, and I'll remember it tomorrow. And if I can remember who's here, I'll call you up and tell you what I think I can say. The library moved about 22 years ago. When the library moved, the building then was empty. It was empty for 10 years. But I forgot about a few things, as usual. And that is, prior to the library moving, very little was done to maintain the building. I think that it would be accurate, probably an underestimation of the fact that I don't think anything was done was for 5 years prior to their moving. So if you do your math, that's 15 years of no maintenance at that little building. So the next important thing for me that happened, if you all remember Fred Kelly, who was chairman of the Board of Selectmen for a while. Well, it was Fred who decided that the building should be on the National Historic Register. So I don't think Fred got that done all by himself. I think he had some work, but he did get it done. So that happened, but the building still was empty, and there was still nothing happening there. So a little time goes by, and along comes Carlton Roby, who was then chairman of the select board, and it turns out that Carlton went up one day to check the furnace. So it appears that no one was going in the building. For years, no one was in the building. So Carlton went in, and the wind was blowing through the windows, and water was coming in. And he thought, well, we ought to do something about this. But he also was pretty thoughtful in realizing that maybe the select board were not the best people to take on the project of figuring out how to fix the building. So he pushed for a board of trustees. So the board of selectmen then appointed 5 trustees. So they're almost all here tonight. Would you stand up? Come on, Diane, Paul, Betty. So, Paul LeBlanc, Betty Sabian, Diane Philbrick, Sue Hayden, who is not here, and Bob Stout, who is not here. Diane and I were 2 of the first appointees, so Diane and I have grown old together doing this. And I don't think we had quite as much gray hair when we started. The select board at that time gave us a letter, and the letter was long. It's a whole page. But to sum it all up, they said, we want you to restore, we want you to repair, and we want you to find a use for the building. So we started in 12 years ago, and the first thing we did was start in on the windows that the wind was blowing through. I could go on. It's a long, long list of things that we've done in 12 years. And we still have a little more to do. But I really want to thank you all for coming tonight, and I want to thank Jennifer, and I want to thank them for the award, and I'm sure all of the trustees do too. But most of all, beyond all of the other things, we need to thank the voters, because every year we have a budget, and we submit our budget, and every year the voters vote to give us the money that we need to do the job. So this award really isn't for the trustees or the select board. It's really for the voters of the community who have been supporting this project for 12 years now. So thank you all for coming. And make sure you come and visit the building. I mean, it is a town building, so it's open to everybody. You can come anytime you want. And I think you'd be really surprised at how fabulous it looks. Thank you.
Thank you,
Kyle. Thank you. I know you have a meeting.
Take your time.
Yeah. How about everybody? Can you stand behind there? And maybe hold it up. We'll put Carla back there too, and I'll take the picture.
Is Carla coming up?
Yeah.
Come on, Carla.
No. Get the rest of the trustees.
Oh, we'll do another picture then with the trustees. How's that?
I can't force her to come up, I guess.
No. What with the trustees, Carla?
Yeah.
Come on, Diane. Come on, Paul. Come on, Betty. Just take it with you guys. Yeah, just take it with you guys. Pushy, isn't she?
I like them.
We can snuggle in.
Nice.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
And this is their regular meeting, so they're probably not going to be there. It's the only
We got one other thing.
I'm sure they want to stay.
This is a
Judy?
Gorgeous wood cut.
Judith, rather. Sorry.
That the photo on there.
Thank
yes.
you, Jenny.
And we have much to be thankful for the Preservation Alliance, because they have walked with us. I have a letter from Ed Steer from January of 2010 talking about the meeting that she had been at. So that brings us back to 2009, that the Preservation Alliance has walked with us on this project to go through the proper steps, and we're very
grateful.
You've
been doing it. Thank you.
Don't go anywhere yet. Go ahead, Judith.
Okay. I didn't know Carla was going to speak, so I wrote something in this archaic language called cursive. I write it all out. Carla writes notes, but I write all the words out. I can't even remember. It says, and I hope you'll bear with me, when I moved to Candia over 50 years ago, I had no idea what a town meeting was, how it was run, or what it signified. I soon came to realize that town meeting was the truest form of democracy. Your vote mattered. Articles passed or failed by one vote. It was at this time that I came to understand Candia was a place where one person could make a difference. Tonight I'd like to talk to you about one person I met so many years ago and how she made a difference. Tonight our town, she's gonna kill me. Tonight our town received an award celebrating the restoration of a significant town building, the original Smith Public Library. Many in this room may fondly remember borrowing books to read from the library or attending events in the Bangs room downstairs. My first memories were of the beautiful fireplace and the chandelier. After the completion of the new Smith Library, the old building, now known as the Smith Building, had less and less use. The Heritage Commission had plans drawn up for the restoration of the building with the intent to turn it into a community center. The request for the funds was turned down at the town meeting, and the building continued to deteriorate. The community didn't want to spend money without a clear idea of how this building was going to be repurposed. The Smith Library was placed on the National Historic Register. The Select Board appointed 5 people to be trustees of the building. Carla Penfield was one of the original trustees and has been chair of the Board of Trustees since its inception. Carla realized that there was much work to be done to make the building useful. Many of the smaller tasks and demo work was done by the trustees. Carla thought about the building with the idea, what would I do if this were mine? She believed that if the town wanted to use the building, there were many repairs to be done. The first project was the windows. Although the town wouldn't appropriate a large sum to conserve the building at one time, the citizens were willing to appropriate smaller sums to begin the repairs. Carla realized that the windows were the first priority. It took 4 to 5 years to reglaze all the windows. When they were complete, the heating bill was cut by 2/3. While this was going on, the trustees were removing moldy carpeting. They managed to remove the parts of the kitchen and bathroom that didn't require plumbers or electricians. All the wood trim in the upstairs room that had been turned into the head librarian's office had been removed. Carla arranged to have the trim replaced and the ceiling redone. The trustees would agree what work needed to be done, and what it was Carla that attended budget committee meetings and fought for the appropriations every year. Then she would find someone who could complete the work, and then she supervised the completion. Although all the trustees discussed the projects and helped with some of the demolition work, locating people who could perform the work historically correct, and the supervision of the workers fell on Carla's shoulders. So tonight, as our town receives this award, I would hope that this board would take a few minutes to recognize the time and selfless effort that Carla Penfield has made to this town. She was the driving force behind the reconstruction of this beautiful building. She and Colin Roby were also responsible for negotiating the lease with Jesse Remington High School for the daytime use of the Smith Building. And again, I would ask that this community recognize the tremendous accomplishments of this remarkable woman that she has made in preserving and restoring a valuable landmark in our town. It's very beautiful.
Nice, thank you. We have one other thing. This is from the Board of Selectmen, and this is to Carla Penfield. It's a certificate of appreciation. In grateful recognition and appreciation of the many years of service and excellence.
Really?
And there's a card there for you too.
Enjoy it.
Nice, it drains us.
Good thing she didn't leave.
You know, guys, I am really embarrassed. I'm really embarrassed. But yeah, thank you, thank you. And again, thank you for all of the support from everybody. And I don't know what to say. Judith and I have been friends for a long time, but I really didn't pay her.
I figured she probably won't invite me for wine for a long time.
I was going to say, you can talk about this on your Friday wine fest.
She didn't want to have anything to do
you're
with any
list.
Of this.
Yeah, you're off the list.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Carla.
Personally, I'd like to say, Carla, that building is gorgeous, and you've done a wonderful job.
Oh, I did forget something. If you haven't been up the road, you have to go and look at the walkway.
Yes.
And what you really need to do is take a minute, get out of your car, and walk up the walkway. But when you stand at the bottom where it starts, look at the workmanship involved, the way the walkway fans out. And instead of adjusting the sides to make it fan, all of the adjustment is done in the middle. It is fabulous. And he did the same thing at the top before you walk up the steps. It's an absolutely amazing workmanship, really. Okay, I'll be quiet.
Right.
No. But it was hot when he was working.
Good job.
Yeah.
No, that's all right. It's quite all right.
It's really pretty and they smell good too.
Does anybody else have any comments on that?
They want to politely exit. I know they do. No one's afraid to make the first move.
Well, you can. I mean, if you want to stay, we'd love to have you. But if you got things to do, we understand.
Here we go.
Can you take it?
It was good.
How are you, sir?
You know you don't.
Okay, moving on, department reports, highway, you're up, Dev.
So, July was pretty low key. We did shoulder gravel on Old Candy to finish that job out. We did some apron work, pavement apron on Brown Road. We did roadside mowing, and then we prepped for the North Road project, and then we reclaimed it in July. Started it last week, so we're in the second week now. Looking to pave it next week, hopefully midweek, like Wednesday. So we'll be doing some fine grade beginning of the week.
I was told that the digging went well, that it was, you ended up being able to go further than you'd hoped.
Yeah, a little bit.
Good.
It's really nice digging.
Good. That's rare.
It had been worked on in the past, and it's definitely in good shape.
Good.
So we're taking the chance to do a lot of drainage work that needs to be done and, you know, things like that.
Good. Perfect. Anybody got any questions there? The road agent? Seeing none? Thank you. Police.
All right. Before I get into the town report, is it okay if I recognize some officers?
Absolutely. This is your moment.
This is my moment. It's actually their moment. I have Officer McGillan and Officer Langlois come up here, please. So, I found out that these two gentlemen here have been with this town and provided service for this town for 25 years. That's a long time, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time to be dedicated to law enforcement. And one thing that I've always kind of learned in being in the military, if you want a true example of people that are heroes, look at the people that served before you, right? And these two have been a big, huge help to me getting the department back where it needs to be, staying on the road, staying on patrol, and still working shifts when we need them, because we still have three in the academy right now. So I'd like to recognize Officer McGillan and Officer Langlois for 25 years of service to the town. The selectmen all signed this for you guys. So.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Now, aren't you glad I had you?
Yes, exactly.
Half a century more.
Yeah, half a century.
Nice job.
Like
and you're smiling. Both of you are smiling.
We're smiling.
Why
they're smiling.
Thank you very much.
It's been
a pleasure.
Yes. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
So July was a pretty busy month for us. I'd like to recognize another officer, Officer Schaefer. On July 2nd, Officer Schaefer was dispatched to a motor vehicle crash at 98 North Road in Deerfield. Upon her arrival, she encountered a motorcyclist lying unresponsive on the ground, and a bystander was performing CPR. Without hesitation, she jumped into action and started life-saving measures for the motorcyclist that was down. She continued CPR until medical personnel arrived and took over. After that, she remained on the scene and helped Deerfield Police with their investigation, demonstrating teamwork and a strong commitment to the integrity of the corporation. Your professional manner, and your willing to help is just an example of your dedication and professionalism to the community of Candia. You're a credit to the Candia Police Department and the law enforcement community. So excellent job. These calls can be very difficult, especially when people are injured and hurt. And the fact that you did that and just got right out of the car and handled what you needed to do was awesome, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, last one. Officer Grenier. All right, Officer Grenier on July 4th demonstrated sound tactical judgment and calm under pressure. He deployed stop sticks. Does any anybody not know what stop sticks are. They're a technique that a tool that we have in the vehicle that helps bring people that, lo and behold, want to run from the police, helps them bring them in a safe manner and stop their car without them continuously going down the road. In a rapid and involving this dangerous situation, state police was chasing this vehicle from the Hampton area coming down 101. His quick thinking and precise execution directly contributed the help and the safe apprehension of this suspect. Because of him deploying the stop sticks out on exit 3, he was able to get two tires, which brought the pursuit to a safe stop. As the pursuit continued on 101 westbound through Candia into Auburn, a driver of Hyundai traveling at a high rate of speed failed to stay in the single lane in the area of exit 3. The Hyundai drove over the tire deflation device that was deployed by Officer Grenier of the Candia Police Department. But the driver continued to flee at slower speeds, which is really important for us to get everything we need there. Auburn Police was able to spike the vehicle again and get him by exit 2 and got the other two tires. Once all four tires are gone, the car's not going very far at that point. He remained focused and committed to stopping the fleeing vehicle in a manner that prioritized public safety. This also happened at 5 in the afternoon. There's a lot of traffic at 5 in the afternoon. While deploying the device, Officer Grenier sustained a minor injury in the line of duty, an unfortunate reminder of the risks law enforcement officers take every day in their job. The rope got caught on a passing vehicle and pulled through his hand. So he took a little vacation from me for a little bit while he healed
there
up.
You go.
But he's back on the road and he's back out. Officer Grenier's actions reflect courage, selflessness, and steadfast commitment protecting the lives of others. His willingness to place himself in harm's way and bring a dangerous situation to a safe resolution exemplifies what I believe Candia Police Department should be doing. Okay? Your professional manner, your willingness to help is just an example of your dedication and your professionalism to the community of Candia. You're a credit to the Candia Police Department and the law enforcement community. So excellent job.
Thank you.
The equipment that we use is called stop stick. Don't go anywhere. And when an officer has a successful stop stick deployment, the company sends a stop stick pin that he can wear on his uniform.
Nice.
Not every officer has to do that, right? We go through our entire career hoping we don't have to use force and do these type of things, but sometimes it happens, right? So they sent this with the little stop stick pin. Dear Officer Grenier, congratulations on your recent deployment of stop stick tire deflation device. Bringing such a potential dangerous situation to a prompt, decisive conclusion is the benefit for every citizen in your jurisdiction. They are pleased that you are able to effectively use the product to perform your law enforcement responsibilities. So as a token of their appreciation, you get the stop stick pin and you're allowed to wear it on your uniform, okay?
Wow.
Nice. Wow.
Did they also send you new stop sticks?
Yeah. They actually do. We'll get the set replaced when they send that. All right. Done with that part. So good news, August 22nd, our officers are coming back from the academy. They're doing great, so in 2 weeks, they'll be back on the road completing their FTO program. So we anticipate, hopefully, they do well and they do good by that. They'll be back, they'll be on the road operating on the road by October, mid-October, give or take.
Great.
Which is really important. We're still going forward with the accreditation process.
Mm-hmm.
As I told you before, it's a long process. It takes some time. We've also got our VR de-escalation set up, which I plan to bring out during Old Home Day so people can see what that's about. It is a tool that allows the officers to do de-escalation training, and it doesn't cost bullets. It doesn't cost
taser cartridges, and it gets them to think and work through scenarios that are done through Axon, which are the company that uses our tasers. Officer Schaefer also completed CIT training, which is crisis intervention team training. It allows Officer Schaefer some avenues or resources if we have somebody that is suffering from a mental health issue, that we can help get them the help that they need and point them in the right direction, because not everything is an arrest, right? Not everything is like that. So it's really good training. It's a 40-hour class. I just wanted to bring this up. We've been getting a lot of calls for injured animals. Caring for injured wildlife. I strongly urge people not to try to go hug the hawk that just got hit by the vehicle. They're a wild animal. You know, they can seriously hurt somebody. Fish and game are always somebody you can reach out to. Milestone Wildlife Center, they deal with small mammal and wildlife rehab, so like your foxes and your little critters that could get hurt. If you call these people, they'll come out, they'll take the animal and help either nurse it back to health and get it back in the wild, or whatever needs to happen with it. Another one we use is Wings of Wildlife. They help anything with small birds, hawks, things like owls. Amy had an owl. We had to have them, it was a few months ago.
Yep.
They took the owl and nursed it back to health and released it back to the wild. So just a reminder for everybody, you'll see this on the site. So there's that. So you can see the breakdowns. On 7-3, everybody knows about social media and the dog case we were dealing with. We made an arrest in that case involving that pit bull that was being neglected. That pit bull has been rehomed and has gained, I want to say, 55 pounds at this point, and is doing happy and healthy. And the person that was neglecting that dog will be dealing with the consequences of the charges they received. So that's what you see on there. There were 5 charges for that. You can see the other ones. We're still averaging about the same motor vehicle stops and tickets. You'll see this number probably go up more as the officers start to get out on their own from the training and end up on the road 24 hours, which will be helpful. And cruiser maintenance has been fine. There's no major issues other than routine maintenance. So our cars are running good and strong. I don't have any really big issues with them.
Excellent.
I've also been receiving a lot of speeding complaints the department has, and we've been addressing them as they come in. We're making sure we're on those roads. I also started a road study with the Southern New Hampshire Planning Commission. They're going to be putting out some car counters in some locations that we've identified that probably need a speed study or need to be looked at. That's the beauty of being part of that commission. It's all free of charge, so they're going to come out and do that for us. Deerfield Road was one of the roads. High Street and Patton Hill were the 3 that I've looked at the most right now. Anywhere you have a high pedestrian traffic, I want to look at trying to get the speed limit lowered for that. So as we go forward, I'll give you more information on that. They should be deploying those here in the next couple of weeks, but they'll let me know when they do.
Excellent.
The car counters, they do every 15 minutes. There's tubes they put across the street so they can tell what kind of car is going over them and how fast they're going. And we can get a car count, see how many cars are in the area coming through. So it'll be some interesting information to get back.
Good. I know you said the exit 3 there, that has improved, even though that really wasn't what we agreed to have happen there. But you said it has improved there.
It has improved. We haven't had any accidents there. I actually did get a citizen in town over the weekend, had a, I guess, a near miss with a motorcycle running the stop sign. They asked for the stop sign to be lit.
Illuminated, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember them talking to us and telling us that's what they wanted to do, but when we looked at the email that was sent that Amy has there, they put a beacon light on it, like it's in the email. So I don't think they ever had the intention to put.
Well, the state, I don't think, did, but the discussion we had with John Stevens and us, that's what we agreed that we wanted that.
Right.
The DOT has not been helpful at all on this whole process.
So I'm hoping maybe to reopen some talks with him and see if that's something we can get added or fixed.
Yeah.
I think having the blinking light at least, at the very least, is good.
It helps a little.
It helps. I know there's some line of sight issues that you guys have been saying.
Yeah, that sign, at a certain point coming east there, that sign blocks the stop sign.
And remember, you know, it doesn't, it's not going to, we'll put law enforcement, we'll put enforcement out there. We've got bigger signs, but it's still not going to stop someone from breaking the law either, right?
Absolutely.
And people, the biggest thing that I can say is eyes up and pay attention, right? Because that's half of it. Because as a driver, you have to be defensive. And that doesn't mean you're honking and flipping the bird to people. That means that you're
That's afterwards.
Yeah. That means you're watching out for the people that could be making those mistakes or those errors in judgment, right? And that helps with that stuff.
Yeah.
So I will definitely speak with him and see if that's something that we can have done. But at the very least, at least we have some kind of lighted sign there right now. But
Yeah,
It's tough when you're working with the state roads, too, right?
Yeah.
And we have a
That's
lot of...
That's being polite.
Yeah.
I spend a lot of time in Bedford, and those signs make the world of difference as far as getting your
attention
goes.
Absolutely. It catches your eye more than that blinking red light.
Especially even as the dusk comes, it's like it's the whole sign. So I've seen them. I think they're very nice. I don't know what the cost difference is between. We'll look into
aren't
it.
They solar?
Well, it's LED, so they're more
efficient. Yeah, solar
powered. So I mean, I would think they could stick them on there, but I don't know.
It's a whole different sign.
Oh.
Yeah. You all set then?
I'm all set, unless you have any questions for me.
Thank you
Did
very
you
much.
Did you see that speed monitor can tell what kind of car went over it?
It does, because I guess the way it was explained to me, those tubes can tell if it has
like
four
like
tires or two tires. So it can tell if it's a tractor trailer or a
motorcycle.
Does it get my license plate?
No.
Oh, good.
No, it just counts like the length of the frame.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, exactly. And as I get that data, I'll share it with you and you'll see that.
Yeah.
But every 15 minutes, it will be counting and watching the speed. So we'll be able to see if people are slowing down, if they're speeding up, what they're doing.
Okay. Yeah.
Are you still thinking of maybe one speed on 43 there in 27 instead of three different speed limits all the way up through there?
Yeah, it would be nice, right? But, like, I mean, you got to think, like, Deerfield Road, it's 35 miles an hour through that corner, right?
And all through Deerfield is 35.
Right. No, that's fine. I'm talking about the state road.
Oh, yeah.
Where
yeah.
it has three different speed limits.
Yeah. Raymond Road.
Making it a little bit more easy for people to cruise through. No, but where
in a 2 mile section, you got three different speeds.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Good. Anybody at the board got anything for the chief? No.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you.
All right.
About the good work.
Thank you.
Congratulations again to both of you.
All of you.
You want to do the fire department one? Because Steffi's not here.
Sure.
Younger than us, I'm not to do
it. Yeah, but now we're asking.
Yeah, we're asking nicely.
Well, last month we had 36. No, we had 36 EMS calls and two fire calls. And I haven't read this yet, so you can bear with me. Yeah, here you go.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. 42 EMS calls and 13 fire calls. And the response time is still pretty admirable for this town. It's around 11 minutes and 5 seconds average for all calls from the time the people are called out to the time they respond to the station. So, and in addition to that, I guess the chief said, some time last with the truck and building maintenance and EMS training. And that's all I have for the fire department.
And you get some...
The appointments.
Yeah.
Get these glasses going.
Yeah. We were just so got an appointment?
He's got the...
We've got a letter from
okay.
from the fire chief. actually, no, here's the letter. The letter's actually from Mike Kelly. Attached are appointment letters for 7 grant-funded trainee positions. We're requested to bring them on in a trainee status, which we have not done before. This is a temporary position, one in which each employee has agreed to participate. I will attempt to make the selectmen's meeting via Zoom, unless George or Isaiah can go on Monday night. But if not, you could please read this in the statement for the fire department. The fire department is requesting appointments for several individuals under the FEMA Safer Grant. These positions will be temporary, allowing individuals to join the grant, attend training, and become certified. At the end of the grant and the training process, the trainee and the department or town may voluntarily separate. If the trainee is a good candidate and would like to remain in the department and there is a need for their services, the department would request a reappointment to a permanent fire EMS provider status. We have exhausted the current resources within the community and have not had any additional Candia residents join under the grant process. This has left approximately 12 positions open for us to continue to support through the grant at no cost to the town of Candia. The benefit of the department assisting these personnel in becoming certified is twofold. We're helping individuals enter the fire service career field by providing training that would not usually be available. This will help the individual and hopefully the town that they reside in, as they will hopefully become a member of the town's department. The second benefit to the town of Candia is that for each person certified as a firefighter, the grant enables the fire department to purchase a complete firefighter ensemble, which they have approximate cost of $5,000. We hope to secure 10 trainees through this grant process, enabling us to purchase nearly $50,000 worth of firefighting gear that will serve for the next 10 years. We think the work provided by Captain Kelly, Safety Officer May, and Lieutenant Susie to get the training completed has a limited effect on the department operations, but provides a great benefit to the department.
George is here, Brian. Mm-hmm.
And so we have the names of appointees. We've got Anthony Hicks of Manchester, New Hampshire, Jessica St. Louis of Manchester, Jacob Newman of Merrimack, New Hampshire, Isabella Edwards of Madbury, New Hampshire, Braylon Morgenthau of Deerfield, New Hampshire, and Kaylee Kaylee A. of Derry, New Hampshire, and Michaela Tavares of Laconia. Can I get a motion to temporarily appoint these recruits?
I never do fire department.
No?
I mean, I'll vote, but I won't. I never make
motion. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second that.
Larry Patrick seconded it. Hey,
Sue?
Any questions or anything?
Oops.
Nothing? All right, all in favor?
Boyd?
Sue?
Brian?
Pat.
Very good. Thank you, George.
Can I add just a couple of things?
Yep. You could have read the whole thing.
Well, no, you didn't. Mike's right up. The grant's for 3 years, and we just entered the third year. And as Mike said, we've really exhausted through various forms of advertising our ability to get people in Candia or who live close to Candia within our geographic requirements for regular membership.
Right.
So not to see the grant go to waste, because Candia has attracted 9 people. Deerfield, they're part of this grant also, has attracted 2. So we've used 11 out of the 24. So by taking these 10, we're taking advantage of the grant, as it explained what you read, and still leaving just a few positions in case somebody from either Candia or Deerfield comes in this last year. And so that's the rationale behind this, as opposed to just letting these positions drop on the floor, basically, when the 3 years is up, is to put them to good use. Because these people, whether they help us, they're going to help somebody.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, they get certified, they're going to be a firefighter someplace.
I absolutely agree.
George, what's the age on that? How old do they have to be?
18.
Well, to join, they have to...
For this program?
They have to meet our requirements, which is 18.
Okay.
Yeah, there's nothing in the grant that has an age limitation. That's all.
Good, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, George.
Anybody else get anything for the fire department?
I got one thing here. The Chief Young has recommended appointments to the fire department.
One permanent.
One permanent.
One permanent, you want me to read that?
Yep.
Here's a letter dated August 7th from Chief Young. Recommendation for appointment to the Candy Fire Department. And it's my pleasure as Fire Chief of the Town of Candy to provide you with the name of an individual who I recommend for appointment to the department. The individual has demonstrated a strong commitment to providing professional level emergency services to the town, and I offer this recommendation without reservations. The person recommended has submitted background information attesting to their individual skill level, has agreed to maintain at least a minimum level of professional certification consistent with the needs of the department. The applicant has also provided information as to the character. Paperwork's been submitted to the state, and we're awaiting their response. So just on the recommendation of Chief Young, I move this board approve the appointment of Michael McCorkle of Raymond, New Hampshire, as a position for the firefighter AEMT to the Candia Fire Department.
I'll second that.
Any questions or anything to add? If none, all in favor?
Sue.
Boyd.
Brian.
Pat.
Perfect. Thank you. Building inspector. Before we start, I just want to let everybody know and welcome Rich LaVoy. He is our new building inspector.
First meeting.
Hit the wheels and the ground running, so.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Rich.
Don't be shy.
Yeah, I don't have too much to report. I was only here for 2 weeks last month. But in that time, I did conduct 16 inspections, and I did issue 22 new permits.
Excellent.
So far, you're pretty comfortable? Things are going okay?
Yeah, it's been all right.
Yeah? Just all right?
Learning.
Got a decent little tour of the town?
Yeah, it was all right. It's not too bad. Just a big rectangle.
Yeah. You can't get lost.
I tried.
If keep turning left, you come right back around. Did any board members get any?
No. How many new home permits?
Well, there was none new home, but okay. I did do a new foundation permit, so that was just one.
Okay. That'll eventually result in a new home on top of it, won't it?
If they can afford it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, it's that was fun too, because I'm having to go through all the zoning and seeing how you guys do everything just to be able to issue that one. So.
We need a motion for that. So while we have you, I'm also going to ask for a motion to appoint Rich as the health officer.
I'll make motion.
Second that.
Patrick, second. Okay. All in favor?
Sue.
Boyd.
Brian.
Pat.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Another job.
It's okay. Keeps me busy.
Yeah, and it will.
Is there some kind of sheet that needs to be signed or anything?
Yeah, that has to be signed. Awesome.
Yeah, it'll come out. Yeah. There's something on the white sheet underneath that.
Oh, there is?
Yeah. Well. That needs to be submitted to the state.
I already signed it. Only three spots, go ahead.
Okay.
Printing sign.
There you go.
good. Okay. All right, you're up now, solid waste.
Okay, well, I think there's a mistake here. He's comparing July of 2024 with July of 2023. I think he meant comparing July of 2025, which anyhow, last month we did 124 tons of municipal and construction debris. The previous year in 24, we did 115 tons, so that's roughly consistent. Recyclables, last month we sent out 16 tons of recyclables, and the previous month is 29 tons. And the revenue is holding pretty good, not really, but from year to date this year, $39,553. Last year was $34,047. Any questions for solid waste?
No, still up, so it's pretty good.
Yeah. And I'd like to point out, for every ton of stuff we recycle, that's a ton we don't have to pay to dispose of. So the town, we get not only paid for recyclables, but we save money by not having to dispose of it. So there's really more involved in that than just the cash we get for the money for the stuff we recycle. And I want to commend Chuck for doing a good job for recycling as much of that stuff as he can get, stuff in those bins over there.
That's a good job. And the budget, we're going to be starting the budget season. Do you have anything that you want to share from the budget committee?
No, too, we're meeting this Wednesday, but I see you set up a date of September
6th. Yeah. Yeah. Is that going to work for everybody?
That'll be
yeah.
great. They wanted to get started earlier, okay. So that's
what
like...
What day of the week is it?
It was either
Saturday morning.
It was
that
or October 15th.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was sleeping that way, actually. But Amy convinced me to do the 6th. So just for the record, the board will be meeting September 6th, 9 o'clock, right here, to present the budgets. So all budget proposals needed to be in no later than Wednesday, August 20th.
Wow, that's covering.
Do they already know about it?
Yes, she emailed them all about a week or so ago.
I'm sure everybody's minds were already there anyways.
Yeah, dreading it, but they were there. Yes. Good.
Wow, today's the 11th. Okay.
New business, Matt Phillips, 440 North Road, to inquire as to the town's ownership and disposition of lot 403-9 and whether it ought to be added to the list of upcoming auction properties. Is Matt here?
Hi.
Yeah.
Matt Phillips, 440 North Road. I also own 403-10. It's the very end of North Road on the north side of the road. So 403-9 is the lot on the south side that has a pond. It's basically a pond. That lot is marked on the tax map as being of unknown ownership.
Yeah.
I think the town might own it. There was a tax sale in 1958. That seized the other part of the lot referred to in the deed that was owned by that owner of 34 acres, which is not on the tax map. So I think the town owns 34 acres, it's not on the map, and the 12 acres is sort of a question mark. But
so how many acres you think is on that piece?
Well, there's a 12 acre piece and a 34 acre piece.
All in the same?
It's the same deed. But on the 58 tax sale, it just says 34 acres land on Knowlton Road.
It doesn't assign 403-10.
No, this is before that.
Okay.
And I'm not clear at that time whether when they say 34 acres, they mean
total
that,
or what,
that
yeah.
parcel that has the 34 acres, including the 12, mm-hmm. or not. Either way, it probably, so I had asked Boyd about this, and he put me in contact with the lawyer that is doing the auction. He eventually called me because it was sort of getting complicated. But it seems like the town is going to have to go look at the old tax books to see what the town was taxing the owner.
Yeah.
And if that included the 12 or not, and maybe some history about what was actually seized. for that tax sale. And it doesn't seem like the town ever did anything with it, never transferred it on to anyone else.
How many acres is the dash 9, the 403-9?
Well, it's on the map as 12, but it's only on the map as 12 because...
Well, the maps are, yeah.
Because of lack of information?
Well, there's a deed that says 12, but yeah. that lot that it's talking about stretches over into Hooksett.
Okay.
And is bound by references two lots, one of which, I think it might be a mistake, I'm not sure. In any case, Hooksett seized their side of it in the 70s and 80s. So that's gone. Maybe? I don't know how these things work.
Right.
But it would sure be nice if the town figured out if they do in fact own this, and if so, what are we doing with it?
Well, I referred your question to the auctioneers.
Yeah.
And they pretty much confirmed that the town does have title of that property.
Oh, did they?
And they were willing, with the board's permission, include that with the other 9 properties that we're going to sell off this summer.
Including the 34 acres?
Well, I don't know. I didn't get a clear answer on that.
Because when I talked to him, he seemed like he was real uncertain about whether that was it, that the town owned it or not. Did that change in the last
I believe it did.
Few days?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are we sure that we're going to auction these off for sure?
It has to go.
I don't know if we made a decision on that.
It hasn't had the two public
hearings. We had the two public hearings coming up.
Okay, I was going to say,
right.
I didn't even know
in
we were going to necessarily auction it off.
We moved far, as forward as much as we could without
so
having the public
hearings. So conservation has to get involved?
One more meeting with conservation?
With conservation.
And then two public hearings in September.
Okay.
Well, in that case, I'd be curious to see why he thinks that the town has clear ownership of it,
well,
and where
yeah.
that 34 acres went.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear that too. But in the process of this selling these parcels of land, the auctioneers discovered 4 other ones that we previously didn't know we owned.
Yeah.
Wasn't on the inventory.
Yeah.
And we're going to include those in the sale too. So.
Okay.
But that has nothing to do with this one that you're talking about here, Matt.
Sounds like it does, no?
Is it North Road?
No,
the other 4?
Different places throughout town.
But not North Road?
No,
it wasn't his,
the one he was
right.
talking about. Is that the one that borders you?
Yes.
That he's talking about? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously we, have some interest in that lot, so.
Ooh, a big one.
How did you find it, Matt?
How did I find what?
That the town owns it, 403-9.
Just by doing a search at the
county.
Wood,
yeah.
At the county.
Okay.
Yeah.
And also talking to Jim Lindsay.
Okay.
Who that was his theory, was the town owns it, so I went and dug up and did
it.
Now
you were in before for that piece of property, weren't
for
you?
For the one on the north side, yeah.
Right. And you changed your mind, now you're going to be buying it? Or bought it?
He bought it.
Maybe to sit on it forever,
because
it's expensive to put the road in, which is why I backed out
right.
of buying it in the first place.
Yeah.
So this is just about getting the abutting piece of it to make it all nice and keep it.
Square lot.
Well, a square lot, but also to keep it
protect yourself.
Protected. So.
Yeah.
Right. Nice.
I don't blame
you. We're going to do what we can to sell that.
Okay.
If the town
we
is
think,
marketable
we think.
Title, okay, well, the board will consider that, but the first of the auctioneers to determine whether we have marketable title.
Yeah.
And that's up to him.
Go ahead, then.
I've got a question.
Just so I give you a name for Linda.
Oh, Jimmy George, 858 North Road. Does it have to go to auction?
Yes, it does.
If we get rid of it, yes.
It does?
Yes.
That's right.
We can do either seal bid or auction. Those are the two options we have. And we're not putting minimums on them. We're allowing the auctioner because they're not charging for any of their work. They get a percentage of the actual sale price. That's how they get paid.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's cleaner for us, less work for us. And that's what they do for a living.
And they've already recommended no minimum bid.
Yeah,
I'm not worried about the minimum, I'm worried about the high.
Yeah, I don't blame it. But it really, unless somebody wants to buy it to preserve it, it really is valuable to you two guys.
Right.
That's...
Because it's a class 6 still.
Yes.
And it's all swamp.
Yes.
But it's a class 6.
Yes.
Okay. So that's a whole another hassle itself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it makes it value to butters as opposed to somebody coming in.
Well, you can always grant a conservation easement on it to somebody and take a tax deduction for that too. That's the other way to make
money. You probably want a house on it. You want to live?
No, it's a swamp. It's
it's all swampy.
No, we don't want to build it. We don't want anybody to build on it.
I want to build on the north side, maybe.
Other than
where it's high and dry,
and have a view of the pond.
Right.
Are you sure that there's no other way to do it besides an auction?
Auction or sealed bids, that's it.
Okay.
No direct sales.
Okay. I would maybe direct your attention to RSA 8080.
Which is, as the board made these, it leaves it to the board's discretion?
There's an alternative method besides the auction of the sealed bids.
Right.
Can you share it? Or is it private?
It's RSA. Off the top of my head,
go for it.
All right. Off the top of my head, you can do the sealed bid and the auction is the normal way, but the town can, as an alternative, where justice requires is the secret clause, decide to do something else with it.
Right.
And among the reasons, where it says, well, what does justice mean? And one of them is if you want to transfer the lot or lots to abutting owners for consolidation into existing lots for the purposes of preserving open space, you could do that.
Okay.
The board could choose to do that upon affirmative finding that is actually in the public's best interest.
Okay.
So that's one.
A lot of legal jargon.
It is a lot of legal jargon. Basically, it means you guys can decide not to go to the auction. And instead, if you have some abutters who are interested in acquiring it and consolidating and just divvying it up, with no intention to do anything other than just keep it as open space.
You negotiate the price with the board of selectmen.
I would think that would be a very...
That's going to put us
very
in
weird line.
See, that's why we went the other route, because they handle all of it, and we're removed from it. That's why we...
They revised it in 2023, but it looks like...
Do you have that, Ferris?
Yeah, I have it,
Yeah, that's a pretty risky movement. We would rather sell it at auction.
If we sell it, add that in void.
And that actually looks like it needs to go to onto the ballot as well.
Yeah, it might have to go through that with a
majority vote at the annual meeting.
I was unclear whether that was something that had to be done again, or given that it was already, that you guys had already done that.
I don't think we put it on the ballot.
No, I don't remember ever having it on a ballot as a question, to be honest with you. Because we don't do this a lot.
But didn't you just have it on the ballot to do the auction?
No. No, we don't. We haven't even
that
voted
need
on
to
that
go.
Yet.
Okay.
Whether that's going to happen or not.
Well, I would love to know why the auctioneer thinks that you guys, the town, has clear title to that, if that is something that's shareable or public.
Great, everything's shareable.
Sure.
Okay.
Do you know why? He's asking a question.
What was the question again?
I would love to know why the auctioneer thinks that the town has clear title to that lot, and also what about the 34 acres part of it that's not on the map?
Call him.
Okay.
That way you won't get my interpretation.
Sure.
You'll get it right from
great.
Me.
All right.
Okay.
That's all.
Thank you.
Tell him Boyd told you to call.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Boyd's paying for it.
That's the question.
Okay, thank you.
All right,
Matt.
Thank you for bringing it to our attention. Okay, that's it.
Let's get some of those to bring from now on. That's
okay.
There is one.
I have some at home.
What? Drink?
Glasses.
Oh, your glasses?
Oh, do you need a beer?
He's buying one.
Oh, is he? There's a handful of them out there by the clerk's office.
Nice.
She keeps them there. All right, we did the barn easement, we did the fire department. Standard power. Who wants to go first? Al or?
I'll let you go first.
You can sit, you can stand, whatever
you want. I'll try to keep this brief.
Not the young, I'll talk afterwards.
You can just introduce yourself.
Sure. My name's Ryan Polson. I work for Standard Power. We've been the town's energy consultant since 2018. We've been helping the town with electricity contracts for the municipal buildings. They've been a member of our group net metering hydro program, where we provide a check or a rebate every quarter as a benefit of participating in that program. We've also worked with the town to develop a community power plan, which hasn't launched yet, but I can provide a quick update on that. So wanted to just give an update. The town's municipal buildings electric contract is up at the end of the year. I would like to go out to bid and get quotes to present back to Amy and the board for your consideration on renewing.
That's November, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
yep.
So you got to get busy.
Yes.
How much of the rebates have been so far to pay to the town of Candy?
I don't have off the top of my head, I don't know that number, but I can certainly get that for you.
That's
but
a critical number.
Al has it.
Yeah, Al has it.
Yeah, I've got it.
Go ahead, you can share it in a minute.
Sure. So
he's got it.
You got it, Al?
I've got the answer on that.
All right.
There were four rebates. Each rebate was $597.99.
All right. So around $2,000.
Yeah. Should be four checks a year over the last several years.
Yeah, that was just 2024. Just
oh, that's just one year.
Yep.
I'd like to know from Ryan how does Standard Power figure the rebates?
So we basically calculate or keep track of all of the town's municipal electric accounts usage over the 3 month period each quarter. We multiply it by the rebate rate of half a cent, and then we send the check back out to the town. So that's how we determine that.
How is that half a cent calculated? How do you come up with that?
So we partner with hydroelectric facilities across the state, and as a participant in the group net metering program, they're able to get a greater revenue stream than if they weren't doing group net metering.
Yeah.
So they retain more of that. They send us a portion, and then we distribute the benefits out to our customers, like yourself. So that's how that flow of money works. So my ask is to have an EPO form. It's an Eversource utility form. It's been historically signed. I believe Andrea signed it the last time for the town, but it allows us to send that form to electric suppliers in the market for the pricing process. They pay for the fees that are associated on that. The town doesn't pay for those fees. So that is the only document that I would need to then go and get quotes for the town. So any questions on that part of it?
So your company is basically compensated through the rebate process that all, how are you compensated?
So by the town signing a contract, an electric contract like the one that you're in right now, okay. we have a small margin on that deal.
Okay.
So you don't pay us directly. At the rate that you get on your contract, our fees included in that. So we get paid by the supplier down at the end of the.
Is it different rates for different towns? I mean, different usage?
It depends. Yeah. Sometimes we'll do groups of towns or schools together, and then they'll all kind of have the same rate. We just did a couple of those groups earlier this year, but But yeah, it depends on.
So, right, this is a year-to-year contract?
It can be. I believe the current contract was
3 years.
Yeah, 36 months. So we'll provide you with the pricing and the terms, and we'll make a recommendation to you, and it's ultimately your decision on.
Is there a chance we could end up paying more for electricity through you than if we stayed with Eversource and just subjected ourselves to the fluctuations in the market?
There's always that risk. Mm-hmm. We typically encourage a fixed rate over the 6 month term, because you never know what the market's going to be like in 6 months or in a year. So historically, it is paid off to go fixed over a 12 to 36 month term versus going 6 months at a time. But that's not to say that it can never happen, but that's yeah. The risk. It does give you budget certainty, though, which I know is important. So if you do a 24-month contract, the town knows what their electricity is going to cost for a certain period of time, whereas every 6 months, you it could be 10 cents for 6 months, and then it could be 20 cents the next period, or it could be 8 cents. You never know.
Is a longer time period a better rate for us?
Historically speaking, the further you go out, the lower the rate is.
Okay.
That's not to say that's always the right choice to make.
Okay.
But we've
well, I've
seen
never
that.
Known it to go down. Have you?
Absolutely.
I mean, so if we committed to a certain amount, I wouldn't think it would go down.
I'd like to hear the recommendation of the Energy and Recycling Committee on this.
I don't know enough about this boy to be able to say, here's a definitive answer. What I like on Standard Power is they're looking at a number of different sources to buy from, number one. Number two, they're looking for renewable energy sources, hydro, wind, other renewable sources, which personally for me is a plus. I'd like to see renewable energy sources being used. And I'll ask Ryan this question, but I'd like to know roughly how we might compare with a new contract, compare with an Eversource rate. Would we know that before the end of the contract that we have now?
So the now current Eversource rate is just shy of 11.2 cents for the supply side. The pricing that we've seen for other towns within the last 4 months, let's say, has been the mid to upper 10 cent range. So I would say, at least for this initial 6 month period, you would likely see the savings versus what Eversource is. Now, moving forward, we can't guarantee that would be the case. There is always periods where maybe the default rate falls below what your contract rate is. We like to look at it over the long term, over the course of the contract, and have you made out over the course of the contract. And I would say, and I can get definitive numbers for historically for the town, but I would say that the town has saved over the default rate since we started working with the town. Again, it's there's always risk involved in these kinds of contracts, but it's you're betting on what the market's going to be like, and it's very uncertain right now. And we've continued to see from the suppliers that we work with that the energy market or energy costs are going to continue to rise over the foreseeable future. Now, whether or not that fully happens is up for debate, but that's kind of where we stand. So,
are you constantly shopping for your best price? Remember when we had that first interview, she mentioned that was what you do. You go out there and you shop around to get the best rate.
Yep.
And that's how you're able to save money for us.
Yeah. So,
as I understand, Brian, where once the contract is in place, we have the same right for the same rate for the whole contract term. So Eversource could be going up,
right,
could be going down.
Never go down.
And Brian, did Eversource just go up with rates?
Yes.
Yes.
So 11 cents is what they went up to?
Yes.
Okay. So it's like the stock market. It's going up and down all the time. And,
right,
and what Ryan is saying is when we sign a contract, it should be a pretty good rate, but it stays the same for the contract term.
Right.
So again, this is only to get pricing. You're not signing a new contract today. This is just to get you pricing so you can see it. And make a final decision on what you'd like to do. But so that would be the electric contract portion. The hydro program that you're all in is also up at the same time, but that's not a problem for us to renew you, it should you want to remain and receive that benefit. And then a quick community power update, which is the residential program. We're trying to get updated utility data so we can get fresh pricing for that program. And again, this would be shown to you, no decision.
So when you're going to come back with all this information to us?
As soon as I have it, okay. And as soon as I... I can send it
like
ahead
September,
of time.
September time, roughly? Is that?
Yeah, if I have it sooner and it's able to be reviewed sooner, that's great, but I'll come back as soon as I can.
And I wanted to explain the EPO form. We've learned from having Ryan at meetings, various recycling and energy committee meetings, what's the EPO form? It's Energy Profiler online, and it does say Eversource on it, and it does say in the first box, it says one-time request $50, annual subscription $300, annual subscription $25 per account. But we asked Ryan about that. We're signing this to let him look at power rates from various companies, but why is it costing money? And Ryan explained to us it doesn't.
Go ahead.
That doesn't have anything to do with him looking for power, those rates up there, which is pretty tricky.
Yeah, it can definitely be confusing.
It is confusing.
So when we submit a pricing request to suppliers, they basically take that form, they go to Eversource and say, hey, we would like to review this customer's electric accounts, their historical usage. It helps them better present and model accurate pricing for any customer. So the supplier pays those fees because they're making the request for that data. So it's not on the town.
Right. So the town doesn't
do that.
No. Yeah. Right. So signing this EPO form just tells Ryan, okay, you can start looking.
Yep. Perfect. So the EPO signature is my first ask. My second ask is, on the community power side of things, we're trying to get updated pricing for that program as well. We have consultant for the town in that program, Eversource has already provided us with that updated utility data. The New Hampshire Electric Co-op won't let us request it. It has to come from the town. So we have a message that you can submit to the co-op that says, please send this utility data to Standard Power. It's and I can send that to you, but that would be my second ask, because we have the Eversource utility data for the town. We need the co-op data, and that's the
one. So neither one of those to commit us to anything other than letting you proceed?
No, this is all just to get updated pricing.
And yep. Amy can sign that second one?
Yeah, Amy can sign either.
Oh, she actually did both.
Oh, okay.
She did this one, too.
I didn't sign it.
Andrea
did. Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Andrea did.
I meant your position.
So the EPO, and then to request the town to send that email to the co-op to so they can provide us with that additional data.
Okay,
and then you'll come back with hard numbers?
Yes. Yep.
That's why I asked, this doesn't commit us to anything.
Let's proceed with the
we're doing budgets shortly, so that would be great.
That's right.
Okay. Well, then let's have a motion
to authorize
Amy
to sign
Amy
this
to sign
EPO.
Second it.
Both of them.
Yeah.
I'll
all in favor?
Sue?
Boyd?
Brian?
Pat?
Good. It's on its way.
All right. Thank you.
And you can come back with some hard numbers.
I will be back. I live 15 minutes down the road in Raymond, so.
There you go.
It's not very far.
Thank you.
Coming in, Ryan, and sitting here.
That was a long
thank
one.
Thank you, Ryan.
All right.
We already did the barn, right?
Yeah, we did all that. Fire appointments and everything. Standard Power. So is any of the board members got anything else? Nothing?
No. Did we schedule the 4114A hearings on the properties that we're going to sell?
For September 8th and 22nd.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, and they got to be 14 days apart.
Yeah, that's why we did that.
Okay.
Right now we're breaking it up. So.
Yeah.
I just was thinking the other day, so I just wanted to take a second and thank these board members. I just wanted to let you know that I appreciate your support as chair, and I hope I do an okay job.
It's okay.
And I think the way this board works so well is I don't try to dictate everything, and I encourage each of you to come forward with your expertise and you do it. So I just want to thank you and
thank you.
It's been working out pretty good, I thought.
Yeah, it has.
So I appreciate all of you. Next select board meeting is the 8th of September. Be there or be square.
So we'll see.
And you got old Mondays.
So the 6th.
Yeah, coming
six
up.
And then the 8th. Yeah. Do we need candy? Are you?
I don't know if I'm doing this. I sold that track, the old one. So.
Oh, you did.
Yeah.
You
and my trail has still got holes in it, so that's not.
Well, that's
be
all right. I already fell for it once. So.
Little truck I still got.
We can fit in the bed of that,
we'll
can't
see.
We?
We'll see. Yeah, we did before.
We did.
I had a ladder. I had a ladder to get in and out.
I remember that.
Russ struggled a little bit.
For Sue?
Sorry.
Who's the safety officer in the
here?
Yeah.
Well, they don't stand up. And it's just downhill.
Anybody got any questions?
We could walk.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Two.
Warren.
Brian.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay.